You're listening to Heritage Radio Network. We're a member-supported food radio network broadcasting over 35 weekly shows live from Bushwick, Brooklyn. Join our hosts as they lead you through the world of craft brewing, behind the scenes of the restaurant industry, inside the battle over school food, and beyond. Find us at heritageradionetwork.org.
This episode is brought to you by Bento Box, a hospitality platform that empowers restaurants to own their presence, profits, and relationships directly through their website. Opening soon, listeners save 40% on the setup fee at getbento.com/openingsoon. That is getbento.com/openingsoon. Hi, and welcome to Opening Soon on Heritage Radio Network. I am your host, Jenny Goodman.
And I'm Alex McCreary.
And if you're just tuning in to our second season, Opening Soon is a show all about the business of opening restaurants. We talk to some of the world's greatest chefs and restaurateurs and vendors that help take your business from an idea to opening soon. And this is the last episode in our second season. So we do want to do a call for all of you out there listening. If you are thinking about opening a restaurant or you're in the early stages, we got some really exciting things planned for season 3 and season 4. And we want to hear from you and potentially feature you. So slide into our DMs or email us or send a carrier pigeon, whatever it takes.
Slide in. Interesting. All right. And speaking of that, we're talking today about working with family. And luckily, my other half did some research and pulled some interesting numbers that were actually quite surprising. So there's over 1.4 million businesses in the U.S. are run by married couples. There's clearly dozens that we could probably rattle off here in New York that we know quite well. Just in restaurants. And family-owned businesses account for 64% of the GDP, and they also account for 62% of all employment opportunities.
So chances are good. You might work for a family business.
Yeah, chances are good you're working for a family, and they're not as random as you might think. So what makes working with your family so appealing, and what are some of the challenges? As a husband and wife team ourselves, we're excited to sort of get to the bottom of some of these questions, and we've got two people that can hopefully answer some of those tough questions in our studio today with David and Anna Posey of Elska in Chicago.
So if you aren't familiar with David and Anna, they have worked their way through some of the best kitchens in Chicago before partnering on their restaurant, Elska, and on West Randolph. It's delicious. If you're in Chicago, go visit them. Elska has won numerous awards, including being featured as one of Bon Appetit's best new restaurants in 2016 on their Bon App Hot 10 list, and one of Eater's best new restaurants in 2017. They also have a Michelin star, which they've held since 2017. So we're super excited that you're here for what we're dubbing our couples therapy session.
Thank you for having us.
Yeah, thanks. Welcome. So tell us a little bit about how you guys met and what was the impetus for Elska.
Yeah. So we both met at Blackbird. What year was that? Right after you became a chef.
2010.
David had just become chef de cuisine after working there for quite a few years, and I was a lowly pastry intern.
David's like, yes.
So after I left, we started dating, so it was all very, very cool, yeah.
Were you guys like flirting in the kitchen though while you were there?
A little bit.
Did you have any idea that he was, that he was into
everything
you?
Was professional.
Everything was professional. 100%.
He had just gotten promoted here.
I know. Yes. Got it.
I guess Elska, I don't know. It happened so naturally, I think, as soon as our relationship was, became serious pretty quickly. It just kind of became part of the conversation, I think, through our whole relationship, and we still do. We traveled and traveled to eat.
We're not the only people who do that.
Right.
We eat four meals a day when we travel. How about you guys?
Yeah. We used to be able to. Now we can't.
I know. Yeah. It's like the indigestion age starts to creep up on you.
A lot more naps now. Yeah. But I guess like just seeing these restaurants around the world really influenced us and as young cooks and chefs. And I think when we, even before we got married, we were talking about, our restaurant and when that would happen. And I think it just kind of felt natural when we split off from the company we were working for. And yeah, I don't know. There was never, you know, now it's Elska, but it was never, you know, it didn't have a name. It was just kind of this image of what we wanted, and we wanted something very casual, but fine dining and approachable, and something that we felt would fit into the Chicago scene really well.
So when you guys were, so you guys worked together at, very briefly at Blackbird, and then you were in the same restaurant group, but then you guys weren't actually working together. So then Elska was the first time you came back together to work together after how many years?
It was actually the first time we really ever worked together. Really? Because I, you know, I was this chef de cuisine at Blackbird, but never really was involved with the pastry kitchen at all. I would go up there to, that's where our PDR kitchen is. So I'd go up there and do that, and then go and flirt with Anna.
He was up there a lot more often than he needed to be.
It really felt very natural with Anna running the publican and myself running or being the CDC of Blackbird. It was when we started talking about Elska, which has been in my mind ever since I was 15. I've always wanted to own a restaurant, not like run a restaurant, but like be the owner. I didn't really know what style of restaurant it was going to be, but I knew it was going to happen. And then Anna and I were together for, you know, 3 years, maybe. No, longer than that.
Before we opened it?
No, before I quit Blackbird and then.
Yeah, maybe 4 years.
Yeah. But we were at a solid enough state to know that she was just naturally going to be the pastry chef. It was just going to happen.
Did you guys hesitate at all about the idea of working with your partner?
I don't think so.
No, really? I think it would. I mean, naturally, you're nervous. Or you'd want to, like, we took precautions. So, like, you know, you go to therapy. Like, you want to, before you even open. Because we're like, it's going to be hard. And it's a completely different, you know, not many people, I guess a lot of people do. But it's something that people don't talk about. Like, how can we have a really healthy relationship and a restaurant if we've never even worked together? So we took precautions. And I think therapy was really great in doing that before we opened.
It also adds a level of commitment, I think, that to your business and to your relationship, that now you're involved in multiple ways with your partner. Like, it's right.
You're working on both.
Sure. You're working on both. Yeah. Yeah. And sometimes it's really hard to separate the two from, you know, home life and work life. And you have to work on it.
Something goes sour at the business, then how does that work out with your partner at home? If something goes sour at home, then how does it work out with your business?
Well, exactly. Yeah.
Those are things that, you know, I think a lot of people probably think about before. Did that cross your minds at all? Or you just felt confident in what you were doing?
I think we were confident enough in our relationship that we knew whatever issues we did have, and we did have, you know, problems at the restaurant that would transfer to our personal life. And it's, you know, I think we were always confident enough that we could handle that and we'd get through it. And I think all the pros outweigh all the cons, you know, like, of course you have fights with your significant other, and being a business partner, you have those fights, and sometimes it's more elevated,
right?
But you also have this person who's behind you 100%, and we're lucky enough where we have like a very, very similar vision. So you just always have this person who's like, you know, we're best friends and best business partners. And I guess I don't feel bad, but we're so lucky to have each other in this, because it's so hard. It's a hard thing to do.
To own a small business. Yeah. It's so true. And I think the thing that's key, what comes up a lot when we have partnership discussions on this show or just with people in general, is about vision alignment. And that's like always comes up as the biggest thing, is like, you have to have the same vision or else it's never going to work, whether you're married or business partners or whatever kind of partner.
Yeah.
And I think focus within your own lane. I know that, you know, you guys, your pastry, David, your savory within the restaurant. Do you guys ever cross over those lines? Do you stay out of, you know, do you ever give feedback on David's menu for savory and vice versa?
I think.
And does that go over well?
I think we always.
Yeah. No, go ahead.
We always want to hear each other's opinions. Mm-hmm. So we'll normally taste each other on dishes that we're putting on the menu. I think the hardest time for sure was when we were first opening, and we didn't really. Like, you're so excited about everything and you just want to do everything and get everything done. So we'd step on each other's toes a lot. And that really sucked, because I don't know, you didn't know if you were responsible for stuff. Like, am I going to get it this week and you're getting it next week? So eventually we just kind of figured out who does what. And, you know, you ended up doing a lot of PDR stuff. You do a lot of the PR stuff. I do a lot of the financials for the kitchen. And, you know, like you find your roles. It definitely wasn't clear when we first opened.
What about in the process of building? Either one of you had more of a business background, or how did that shake down as a partnership?
That was hard. I think you did a lot of it.
I did most of it.
I think
you're like the GC. You were there with a sledgehammer.
I was there a lot.
Yeah.
I mean, definitely, you know, other people did it, but I was involved. Kyle also, our first GM, did a lot of the stuff, a lot of the like groundwork, getting, you know, licenses and stuff figured out. But I think, yeah, I definitely took a lead. Yeah.
And you took a lot more of the stress, I think, too.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So when you guys were developing the concept and opening the restaurant, you didn't have like a formal operating agreement like, hey, Dave is responsible for ABC and Anna is responsible for XYZ.
No.
We had a marriage. Marriage license. Yeah. That was the only contract we had. Yeah.
In hindsight, would you recommend that? Or do you think that you think it?
Huh. I mean, yeah, it would definitely help. It would, you know, I think just delegating responsibility, I think, is always a good idea.
Right. And both of you were not working anywhere else at the time, is that correct?
No.
No, we had like small like consulting gigs, and I was at Publican a little bit longer, or like right after you left Blackbird, I was still at Publican for a few months.
Oh, like a year.
Oh, yeah, was it? Yeah.
Like a few months, slash a year.
Yeah. So you definitely like started out, you know, like you found the space, you were doing that for like the first, the first year. But yeah, I don't know.
Did you guys come up with like a business plan and stuff together, or that was?
I did a lot of that.
Yeah, and we worked with our like lawyers with that
lawyers
too.
Lawyers and accountants and stuff.
Yeah.
No, it's. I mean, we go through the same discussion about the staying in your lanes, and it's like those are the fights that we have. Is like I say something that should be in like the creative lane, and it's really not my role. And it's true. We have an operating agreement. We very clearly defined our roles so that we don't go through that. But those are the fights we have too.
I think that's the biggest. And like, we're also very grateful as far as actually being the chefs. Like, I'm so happy that we have different roles with that. Because I can't imagine if we were both.
That would be a nightmare if we were both.
If we were both the chefs, you know, like me being pastry, there's days I feel like I don't even see him or talk to him because I'm so in my little world and he's so in his. And so I'm very grateful for that. And I think that's why opening was so hard, because we're all trying to do this one
thing.
I think too, being kind of on the same back of house team though has helped us. If you were front of house and I was back of house, and the front of house was having a rough day, like that wouldn't be good.
Yeah, that's true.
So
unfortunately, our GM gets a lot of the.
Yeah, I think we found a very sweet pocket of.
Well, there's already sort of like a combative idea of what front of house versus back of house can be, and there's certain people that are breaking that down, like
James Kent.
When James Kent was in and talking about, you know, how important it is that the restaurant as a whole is one family versus like, I mean, when I grew up in kitchens, it was like, screw the front of house, like kitchen is always right. We're doing everything perfect, like right. And I'm sure the front of house is the same way.
Yeah.
So I guess in that sense, the relationship battle could be a little bit different, but.
How does that work with employees? Do they? Because our employees call us mom and dad sometimes. It's like, God, mom, God, dad. It's like, do you guys have that vibe, or is it very, you know, does it feel like a family run business to you guys?
For sure.
And to your employees?
Yeah. We get called mom and dad too.
Do you?
Yeah, or at least really? I get called mom. I don't know about you.
David's like, I don't think he's called dad. He's like, I'm chef. Don't call me dad.
But it's a very close, you know, we're a small restaurant, 54 seats. Mm-hmm. So
that's how many people on the team?
Yeah. Fairly small. See, 20, it depends if we're fully staffed, but I would say 22 to 24 people. Mm-hmm. But everybody works every single day and every shift. So, front of house, back of house.
But you're not open 7 days.
Just five days.
I don't want people to get the wrong idea.
Yeah.
Everyone works all the time. We're a happy family.
I think that's the other thing. It's like, everyone has weekends off, so they'll like hang out together. And we do vacations twice a year, so everyone's cut for a couple weeks every year. And
when do you guys do your vacations?
We do 2 weeks in the winter, so actually like late January into early February, and then a little over a week over the 4th of July.
I mean, that's something that you can't do unless you are like a small family. I feel like that is part of being a family restaurant. Is that something that you was like part of the business plan from the beginning? Like, we will be only 5 days.
Very important to us.
Had you worked somewhere where that was the case, or it was just that you had worked the opposite and you wanted to instill that? And
I know Blackbird, when I first started working there, was, well, I started as a lunch cook, which was 5 days a week, you know, Monday through Friday, only lunch. So having two consecutive days off was great and important. And when I eventually became into a management role, we started opening on Sundays. We'd always be closed Sundays. So we were 6 days a week, 11 services with lunch and dinner. And then we started opening Sundays. And then, you know, it's for the business, I think it was a good thing. But for myself, it was stressful because, like, really, you don't truly have a day off. Because somebody could no call, no show on a Sunday. And then guess who's going to work? You know, so it like, even though you were off and you were trying to like be stress free, there's still that little, the little guy in the back of your brain.
Yeah, you're an on-call chef. Yeah. That's no fun. Yeah. It's like,
So I think being closed two consecutive days a week and having vacation where we don't have to be involved with the restaurant, we're not emailing, we're not worried about what happened. You know, it was very important. Down. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, because that makes a big difference for you all, because you can actually unplug when your business is operational. I mean, when we take time off, it's still like we're still on Slack and we're still on email and we're still taking calls and all those kind of things. It's like it's really hard to really shut down unless your business is fully shut down for those days.
Yeah, I think your employees, too, like they don't, I don't know if they, I feel vacation is very important because you have to relax.
Right.
And I think a lot of cooks don't really appreciate time off, you know. For their own mental health.
Yeah, I'm like, they will, and their hips start aching. Yeah. They're like, fuck, I need a vacation. Absolutely.
Yeah, so I think a lot of them want to just, like, power through it and work all the time. And, you know, it's really great to have a crew that comes back, like, fully energized and, like, ready to work again instead of just, like, trudging along and, I don't like it here anymore, so they quit. So, you know, retention of employees has, I think, been better because of it.
Yeah, it's so hard to work on your business when you're always working in your business. Mm-hmm. And so we try to talk about that too, about like unplugging and making sure that you're really taking a step back so you can see things from a higher place.
Do you guys ever step out of the restaurant and have business meetings that are not just family dinner?
Oh, man. I don't know if we've ever had, we haven't had like a business meeting with just you and me. I feel like we're always just talking about it. And like it's always in passing. Mm-hmm. Probably should. Do you,
now you can. Do you have like a separate accountant and stuff, or is somebody doing
that? We do. Yeah.
Okay. So you probably sit down with this person and do run through numbers and stuff like that.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. And our general manager, we have a very tight bond with her, as we did with our original GM too. And so we put a lot of trust into them, and the three of us always talk about any sort of business matters together because we like to treat them like a partner. Mm-hmm.
How's it been with that third person, since you guys are obviously, you know, as a couple, how is it to have the third partner, obviously not be part of the the partnership that you share on the side? I mean, I would think it could be like a little bit difficult or intimidating to work for a team of people that you know are always probably going to share the same opinion, right?
Yeah.
Yeah. We were talking about that actually, because for us, it's like, it's so easy for us to talk to each other.
Yeah.
But that's got to be naturally just very intimidating or hard for anybody else to kind of come in. And like, if we have one point of view, how is that person going to come against us at all? Like, you really have to put up a fight. I feel like.
Always an uphill battle with it.
Yeah.
But it's also nice having that outside perspective where it's somebody that kind of conflicts us or gives a different opinion. I think it's really important.
Sure.
How do you guys resolve like disagreements between each other? Or do you ever disagree? Are you one of those couples that are like, oh, we'll never fight?
Walk-in screaming match?
Yeah, walk-in screaming match. I love it.
I think the biggest fights we've had have been, I don't know, I guess we have a different style of chefing.
I mean, really, we don't get in that many disagreements.
Yeah.
And if there is a disagreement, we talk about it and then, you know. Yeah, I don't know.
It's never been a huge blow.
It's never been a big thing.
Like, we're never yelling in the kitchen or, like, crying or, like there's never, like, we're not fighting in front of our cooks or any of that stuff, but.
That's good because you have an open kitchen to the dining room, so if there is a screaming match.
Yeah, like, I feel like our cooks are more, like, like giving us like eyes that were being too gross, like holding hands or I don't know. No, but it's not perfect.
They're not appropriate.
I know. But no, it's never. I think we both know by now that we need to pick our battles. So it's like, you know, if something, if I disagree with the way he approached something, it's like, that's his own thing. And if it was a really serious problem, I would approach him on it. But we do keep it very separated. So that's like, we're not going to go upstairs to our apartment. We live above the restaurant.
They're all in, by the way. They are all in. Yeah.
So we have this weird divide. It's almost like, once we go up to our apartment on the third floor, it's like we'll vent and stuff, but we're not going to bring a lot of that shit up there because it's such a peaceful environment. We just don't want to bring the bad juju up there.
So you guys are able to disconnect from the restaurant when you're...
Mm-hmm. Yeah. We try to. Yeah.
That's impressive.
Yeah.
Do you have like a strict rule, like, oh, we're just having date night, no, like talk about work, or is it just sort of like organically you try to...
There's been a couple times I've been like, no more venting. I don't want to talk about this anymore. I'm over it. But yeah, we'll kind of keep it.
We're pretty good about it.
We're pretty good. Yeah. We don't have anything like set in stone. So we'll like, if we need to talk about something, we will. But we try to keep the stress out of there. Mm-hmm. But I don't know. We're both kind of bad at, like, we'll start stocks on Mondays on our weekends, and I'll go get deliveries.
I know, it must be so, like, tempting just to be like, oh, I'm just going to go downstairs and do, like, a little bit of paperwork and a little bit of this and a little bit of that. And the next thing you know, you're, like, working on your weekend.
So you've worked for 4 hours.
Yeah,
and people will be knocking on the door, and you can hear them, and you're like, I guess I'll go let them in and talk to them or whatever it is, you know. But so there's always that weird issue of living above the restaurant, but can't complain.
Commute's good.
I know. You guys have it dialed in on the commute. I mean, that is just like...
Yeah, but in the winter, it's crazy. He's like, Anna, when's the last time you left the building?
Oh, my God. You're like doing light therapy in your bathroom because you haven't seen the sun because you haven't left the building.
Yeah, we just have like UV lamps. Walking the dog
is
great.
Yeah, you have like your groceries are delivered. Like what do you need to leave the house for?
What do you need to do to leave the house?
Never need to leave.
Nothing. Yeah. That's crazy.
You guys have the Elska bunker.
That's what I'm saying. It's like a zombie apocalypse.
Yeah. I know. We're moving in. I love it.
When you guys were starting out, did anybody caution you about working together or?
All the time.
Yeah?
Yeah. 100%.
Do you feel like vindicated that you can say like, screw you guys, this is working really well? Or
I had somebody pretty close to me say, I give you guys 4 months.
Damn. Like, oh, that's
living,
so fucked
living
up.
Above the restaurant and like working, and I was like, yeah, I was kind of like, fuck you, like, okay, let's prove you wrong. But it's, you know, I think the biggest thing was people are, when you're opening, everybody wants to give their opinion. I'm sure you guys got that too.
I mean, everybody likes to give their opinion, period.
Yeah, that's
just like, that doesn't ever change. Like, yeah, anything. The whole thing.
Yeah. Yeah, sure. But most of the time it's, you know, it's kind of negative and it's like, oh, I wouldn't go out there. I wouldn't buy a building that far west, or, you know, down to, oh, I wouldn't put the gate up there. I wouldn't plaster your building like that. And all these, everybody's got an opinion.
How do you weed through the things that, you know, clearly aren't going to matter toward versus, you know, what might be good advice?
It's hard. It's hard because you are already so nervous when you're... Right. You don't know if your restaurant's going to last 6 months. And so everything that everybody says really, at least for me, it really got to me. And you hash it out with your partner.
Right.
And you're like, that guy's full of shit. Like, who cares? But yeah, some stuff worried us. Like when we opened, when we bought the building, there really wasn't much in that area.
No, we were a little far west.
Yeah, we're pretty far west of the hub of the restaurant scene in Chicago. So, yeah, that was a little scary. It's like, are people going to come that far and eat at Elska? But it just turned out, luckily, that it's just grown exponentially.
There's like, a lot of stuff around you guys now, right?
It's crazy. Yeah. And hotels and apartment buildings have just popped up. Like,
right. And Google has like a huge... Doesn't Google have a headquarters close to
you? Yeah. Google's right down the street. McDonald's is like 3 blocks away.
Any of those things were in the works when you guys took the space, or you were just sort of gambling on...
I think there were rumors about Google, right?
There were rumors about all this stuff happening.
Okay.
And then it actually happened. And then you could start to see the construction, too. So it was like, okay, you know, it is actually happening. So this is a good decision.
Yeah. Are most of your diners now, are they destination, or is it mostly, or is it people in the neighborhood, or is it just sort of a mix?
It's mostly destination. For some reason, we got labeled as a tasty menu-only restaurant, which... We opened to be like the casual neighborhood restaurant with creative food, you know, that's, you know, high end food in a casual setting. that has a set menu and an a la carte menu, and people only focused on the set menu.
FYI, you can go and order a la carte here yeah. first.
Yeah. So our neighborhood.
Filling myths.
Yeah. They also have a burger and fries. Yeah. That's still they a myth.
Yeah. Yeah. It's the neighborhood business is getting there. We're starting to see people just come to the bar and get like a snack and a glass of wine and then go on, which is nice.
I am surprised how the West Loop has been so supportive, though. Like, I feel like we do get quite a few. We have regulars that are, a lot of them are local or like in that neighborhood. So the West Loop itself has been really supportive.
But do you feel like people are more likely to support a business because it's a family business versus, you know, just a couple partners out there trying to make some money? I mean, I feel like it's clear in your story and what you're doing, and you know, not just the story, but the reality of it is that you're building your own life for your family, right? Yeah. You've got your house upstairs and you've got your business that you run together. I feel like, do you feel like you've had feedback where people are like supportive of what you're doing because you're a family?
I hope so. I don't know. You know, it's like what we're doing is so organic and we're not pushing it so much that we're, you know, obviously we're a husband wife team, but we're not like going around and like plastering it all over the city that we're like, we're not trying to make it like this cutesy thing.
No, yeah.
But I think it's very, yeah, it's very organic, but I think it's very special for people to come in and see both of us working the line. And like, we're not, you know, we're so hands-on with everything. And I think that's been the most feedback I've gotten is that they're so sort of surprised that we're there every single night.
It's kind of crazy how people are so surprised by it.
And like I'm running the food to a lot of the tables.
I've seen that.
Yeah,
I've been there and I've seen
that. Yeah,
and it's just
you're so serious when you're doing it too.
Am I?
Yeah, not like a bad way.
So
you're
professional.
Just, I know she's very professional, very serious.
I'm always watching everything. That's one thing I've learned is that my attention to detail is like I'm like a little hawk. So I'm just like scoping out the room. But, yeah, you know, the cooks are running it and like we're running the food, and I think that's very special for people. And, yeah, I don't know. Feels good.
But are there things that you purposely have separate interests on? Are you like, we need some space from each other? Not in a bad way, just in like, I'm going to do something different that doesn't involve you today.
Totally. Yeah. Yes.
I mean, that's what our weekends are for, kind of, because we're with each other all the time. So almost every Monday, Tuesday, I go golfing.
Both days. It's cold.
2 day golfing trip.
Yeah, 2 days.
This guy's crushing the golf course.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, I do.
I need to get into golfing.
It's really?
I don't know. Just to get a 2 day break, I can go out and like do whatever I want.
Interesting. I'm like, side you have two kids.
Booth, guys.
They can
be your caddies. We'll talk about that in couple
therapy. Okay.
Yeah. You can golf if you want. He likes to watch it on TV because he thinks the grass is pretty.
Oh.
That's my dad.
Oh.
Close.
Yeah. Well, actually, he'll just turn it on TV and like fall asleep to it. It's so relaxing.
It really does put you to sleep.
Well, because they talk so quietly and like the soft claps. It is very like, there's some nice ways. So you golf.
Yeah. Yeah. And, I do a lot of art I have like all like solo hobbies. I feel like it's kind of nerdy, but, so I try to do art on my weekends and have a little studio on the side. And, I like to exercise and go for a run on the lakefront and just get out of that whole mindset. I think that's the most important is just like do something that's not related to food at all.
Yeah.
But then we usually do like dinners together or we'll go out with friends or something. But
when you're cooking at home, who cooks?
Me, yeah.
Really?
David?
Never,
always,
never.
Always. He doesn't love my cooking.
Oh!
Oh, okay.
The truth comes out.
Okay.
This is couples therapy.
Yeah. Wait, it's hot?
Weird hippie food. I don't like
Yeah, because I try to cook it, like, healthy, and he's like, why just use the butter? It's like, it's so much better.
I can make it so much better.
So that's what I'm dealing with. And then I never want to have sweets on my days off because I'm eating sugar constantly, so.
All right.
Yeah. He's good. I'll do dishes. It's fine.
I do all the dishes.
Yeah.
And Alex, does he use every dish?
He's,
I know. But right now, I don't know. Yeah, I got side eye too. We're all getting side eye.
When your kids are older, that's what they're for.
So. Yeah, right. Yeah. So he uses every dish and he uses like every pot in the house when he's cooking a meal.
That's
like, me. Drives me insane.
I clean as I go. Give me a break.
Anyways, all right, on that note, let's take a short little break and we'll come back with more. This episode is brought to you by Bento Box, helping restaurants own their presence, profits, and relationships directly through their website. Pete Turner opened Illegal Pete's in 1995 to bring mission-style burritos to the local college students. Illegal Pete's has grown to 9 locations in Colorado and 2 in Arizona. But Pete, a big music fan, wanted to offer more than burritos. He launched the Starving Artist Program, where he gives touring bands a free meal when they come through town. Illegal Pete's is one of 5,000 restaurants that drives high-margin revenue directly through their website, thanks to Bento Box. Visit getbento.com/openingsoon today to get 50% off of your new website setup fee. Okay, and we're back. So just one quick question. We were just chatting a little bit. So David mentioned earlier that he wanted to open a restaurant since he was 15 years old, which I thought was really interesting. And Anna was sort of saying, you know, she came into this a little bit in a different sort of career path. So, I mean, from like a business perspective, it's just interesting that you had this vision, and then tell us a little bit about how like the visions came together.
Yeah. Yeah. So, I mean, you wanted to do this since you were 15. Mm-hmm. And when I met you, yeah, I guess it was always something that you knew you were going to do. And then I went to art school for 4 years, and I was always the art kid. Like, that's just that was my path in life. And so when I got done with art school, it was kind of like a shock to me that, you know, no one wants to hire a kid out of art school with a BFA in painting.
What do you mean? I'm not going to get paid to just paint? What?
I can't just paint portraits and make a good living. No, I got like a job at Urban Outfitters folding t-shirts for like minimum wage, and or that's what was offered. And I was like, I'm not fucking doing that. So after 4 years of expensive art school, I took a break and did a year of AmeriCorps, actually, and came out east I actually worked at Delaware. So I worked for the Delaware State Parks and just kind of did something like really hands-on, and it kind of like gave me a step back from everything to re-examine what I wanted to do. And then, yeah, I kind of fell into cooking and decided to come to Chicago for pastry school. And so that kind of all just, it happened. And then one of my close friends in pastry school was like, well, we got to get an internship at the best restaurant in Chicago. And I was like, all right, whatever, sure, let's do that. So just, again, like, I've always just been like, keep a positive mindset and go with the flow. And I was like, sure, let's do this. So she actually got us the internship at Blackbird.
She got it for you too?
Yeah.
You really went with the flow.
It was like a package deal.
Yeah. It was like, you get a twofer.
I wouldn't say lazy, but I was, but you remember Caitlin? Mm-hmm. So Caitlin got us this internship, and we worked different days. Yeah, so I met David, and then we got together, and he's like so passionate about this, and it is really inspiring, and it kind of just became my passion too, I think. And I think it feels so natural for me to own a restaurant. I don't know if that sounds weird, but it's not ever what I expected I would be doing, but it feels like the hospitality industry is just like you're taking care of somebody. Like you're having friends over for dinner and like doing the best you can to create this experience for them. And for me, that just feels so natural and I love it. Like 100%, I never thought I'd be like front of house or whatever it's called, you know, whatever we're doing. But it just feels so good. And I love, it's such a special thing to have people come in and spend their time and their money and their few days off with you and giving you this, experience. And
yeah,
it's really cool.
It is. I mean, that's what makes you love what you do, is just seeing people eat and enjoy their experience with you. And is there anything that, David, that like you, that is surprising to you from like, this was your lifelong dream, you have this restaurant. Is there anything that has surprised you in the process?
Yeah, I mean, I guess there have been so many surprises that I don't really, not one stands out. I guess since I know I've always wanted to do it, and I've always kind of like studied and kept up with everything, and you know, I thought it was going to be much easier to have people interested in you owning a restaurant or opening a restaurant, because I thought I was like, I'm so passionate, people are going to be passionate about me opening a restaurant, and like there was zero response.
No, so. Anna was passionate about you opening a restaurant.
Yeah, I had her. So
that's all you needed.
You're back.
Yeah. Go ahead.
Oh no, I was just. It's so funny how much it changes to like your vision, mm-hmm. like along the way. I think when I first met you, you know, you wanted this like 2 Michelin star fine dining restaurant.
I wanted to be the next Thomas Keller.
Yeah.
That was like my goal.
Still time.
No.
There's still time.
I don't want that anymore.
Yeah.
So your goals have changed too.
Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah, I mean, what changed? What's like, in what way have they changed? And what was the impetus?
I really wanted like the best restaurant in the world, super fine dining. And then as I kind of became more involved with that, you know, working at Alinea, it was, is considered one of those restaurants, mm-hmm. and then going out to eat at all these restaurants. And it's just, I don't know. I'm still really passionate about it. I enjoy it, but it's just, I like being a little more casual.
Yeah.
And I think it gives you the life, it gives us the lifestyle that we want.
Yeah.
I mean, that's a big thing.
I don't
thing.
Think you'd be playing golf on Sunday.
No, I would not.
Yeah.
No, there's something to be said. I mean, people ask us all the time, like, how are you scaling? What are you doing? Get investors, go faster. And for us, it's like, I really love having a lifestyle business that pays us like an annuity and we have flexibility in our lives. And, you know, that's how we feel right now. I don't know if that'll change, but you know, I think people don't value enough having a business that is a good business that you also have flexibility and get to have this like work life balance.
And I think goals too, like it's just a different type of goal.
Yeah.
Like I don't have to worry about making $1 million a year. I want to worry about being able to play golf on the weekends at nice golf courses. Like that's, you know, and I get to run a great restaurant that I truly love.
And that so people like, love.
That's winning for me. Yeah. That's my goal is realized at that point.
I think, you know, like how we do the 3 weeks vacation, that's a lot of money out of our pockets.
Yeah, a ton.
But it's super important for us at the same time. And like, I can't imagine not doing that.
Mm-hmm. Sometimes in the, you know, the balance of employee retention can really shift that amount of money too. I mean, I think people don't often, you know, calculate and understand the amount of money it takes to train someone and to put them through that and the hiring process and things that you can do to, you know, elongate the time that people stay with you. You're saving and making
you're
a lot more money
for your business.
We're going to go on to some quick answer stuff, but before we do, any advice that you would give to other people that are debating whether or not they should go into business with their partner, their family,
too late for us,
their sister, brother?
Tell our listeners.
I think keeping an open mind is the most important thing and not being so stubborn that you're always right with your idea.
Yeah, I think that's a big thing. Like, I didn't think I was a stubborn person, but I think, I guess I am. Yeah, you always think you're right. And you have to really be open to what your partner is saying, whether it's your husband or wife or business
partner.
Or
any partner, yeah. You have to be,
I think taking everything personally as well is, like, the separation, you know, it's hard when it is your spouse that's disagreeing with you. You want to take that personally because it's like, well, you're my wife. Yeah. Like, well, you should be agreeing right now.
You're supposed to agree with everything
but
I said.
But, you know, it's when it comes to a business, it's not always like, yeah.
Well, it's hard too as in a creative field, I think, you know. I think you, Jenny, take better criticism from me than I take from you.
Yeah, because it's less
personal
for me.
I feel so personal about
the
creative decisions I make that when I get feedback on it, I don't want it. it makes it a little bit harder. I mean, maybe it's just my personality. I don't know. But I'm sure you guys feel the same. Uh-huh. You're both creatives.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah, 100%. I think that's the hardest thing to get over is you've put so much like actual love into this dish and you give it to your partner and they're like, meh, it's okay.
They're not immediate.
Yeah. yeah, for sure.
Move on to some quickfire. Favorite part about working with your spouse? You guys can both answer this.
Being together,
yeah.
Whoa.
Oh, they did it the same
I
time.
I kind of wanted to do the newlywed game where you put somebody out of the booth and we
have that one.
Oh. Now we're showing our age. The most challenging thing about working with your partner?
I think also
being together.
Yeah?
Pros and cons.
Yeah.
Oh. Favorite business book?
Ooh.
I don't know.
I don't think
it doesn't have to be like a necessarily like business related book, but like, you know, has helped in business.
We've had some good like people influence us. We did like Zingerman's training.
Oh,
that was super great.
Tell us about that.
Yeah, because Zingerman's is tell everybody what Zingerman's is just in case.
Deli
in
Ann Arbor, Michigan, and they have the most phenomenal like service. Everybody's so helpful. Everybody is just there for you. Like, you can't turn around with a question on your face before somebody's there to answer.
But it's huge.
And they end
tons
up
of buildings.
Just the way that they train their employees and their staff is super influential. So before we opened, we hired them and, you know, they kind of give you guidelines of of what to do. So we did that, and also
this is a service that they offer to anyone, or you knew someone there that
it's a thing that they do. It's like a training. Yeah, a training thing. It's
so cool. How long was the process?
It was 2 days.
No, it was 1 day.
Oh, was it? Yeah.
Yeah.
Interesting. Yeah. I like
it.
I
want to do it for our team.
I know. I mean, everybody loves Zingerman. Like, yeah. If you have we have good friends in Detroit, and they're like obsessed with Zingerman. So right. It's like a.
They do like a crazy mail order business, or
I think they started
e-com business now.
Yeah.
So that was a big one, and then our buddy JD he used to run the Nomad here.
Oh, JD Nassau. Oh, we love JD. Yeah.
So he started a leadership consultation company Open Up.
Yeah.
So he came out like a month ago. So
and
like,
this was more for David and myself.
We had other people as you could sign up for a class, but like resources like that were very important to us, because a book, you could read a book and it's not, if it's relevant.
What's the name of his?
Open Up Hospitality.
Open Up? Okay.
Yeah.
I think the biggest thing, what we've finally, after 3 years of being open, have realized, it's like, we have to change our mindset as far as, you know, you go into it thinking we've been managers before, but being a business owner is so different, and being that such a high up manager, I guess. Mm-hmm. You just have to change the way you think of things. And
you have to find new ways to learn from other people.
Yep.
Because you're not immediately in a position where there's six people above you that you can learn from.
Yeah.
You have to go outside the box and find a JD or a Zingerman's.
Mm-hmm. To kind of create that culture.
Yeah, it's definitely harder because you're busy and you're running a restaurant and doing all these other things to make that time to find additional knowledge as an owner.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
What's the next one?
So, well, we usually ask about a business resource that everybody should know about, but I think we just shouted those out, and couple therapy was the one that we mentioned earlier in the show.
Yeah.
So, what about any other?
And that's not just a joke. That's something that you guys actually do, right?
Yeah, mm-hmm. I would definitely recommend it.
100%.
As partners or as home partners?
Oh.
Or both?
I think both.
Okay.
Yeah,
so you talk about business as well when you're in therapy?
Yeah.
Ours is combined.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. Because
it's just a therapist. Yeah. Right now.
It's so intertwined. You know, like just like you guys, you know, you can't ever really break it off. Like it's just part of your life, your business. So, in therapy, you just kind of talk about both of them, I guess.
I think we do it more for like a preventative measure. So we don't blow up at each other and we don't get in this huge fight that we can't take back things that we say.
Sure.
And it's, you know,
helps with communication.
Yeah. I think there's a stigma about therapy to where it's like you go to therapy because you're broken, and that's not true at all.
It's not true.
You know, it's a very good, positive, healthy thing.
I mean, it's communication skills, which everybody can be better communicators.
Yeah.
Think that's
everybody.
Everybody. If you
think you're a good communicator, you're a terrible communicator.
I already know I'm terrible. Does that mean I'm a good communicator?
It might work like that.
Okay. Sweet. Mentor, inspirational leader in the hospitality industry. And you can have different ones if.
I think, you know, Paul Kahn,
Paul's
for sure.
A huge mentor.
God, you guys are like crushing it on the same answer.
All the one-off hospitality guys that have been, you know, very helpful and detrimental to how we see things in the restaurant. Yeah.
They've down to, you know, like Terry on our first year, every year actually he's come in and bought like 20 gift certificates each for $100.
Is Terry?
He's one of the owners of one-off.
Okay.
Violet Hour, I guess.
Violet Hour, Publican. Some restaurants. There's a lot of like splitting off in the restaurant group, but
But we're not associated with them at all, but they're just like have this, you know, they just always want to help
us. They've always been supportive before and during us being open.
That's great. I mean, that says a lot about your tenure when you're with
them.
What's next for Elska?
Ooh.
Or for David Manapuzzi.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Who knows?
Who knows?
We definitely we've thought about
anything.
It.
Yeah.
You see so many people opening up multiple restaurants and bars. It's definitely.
Do you feel like you need to have another one, or do you feel like you want to have another one?
I know we want to have
you definitely want other
spaces, but
do you worry about the additional time commitment, still having those days off with each other or apart from each other?
Absolutely.
I think it'll be different. Like, we will be forced to step back from Elska, and yeah, like I said, we're just so hands-on right now. It'd be a huge change. Like if we open a bar or something, we're going to have to split our time.
Mm-hmm. Would you ever do something on your own with someone else? And same for you, David?
We've talked about it. I was offered a couple things like bakery-wise that ended up not going doing it all, but we've definitely talked about it. He's been very supportive of it. I think if it feels right, and if it still feels, you know, it's got to kind of be on brand. Like, it's
right.
got to feel right for both of us, because it does affect the Elska image.
Right.
But yeah, nothing's felt good yet. So.
Cool. We'll keep our ears and our eyes open.
Yeah.
We usually do some shout outs to other things that are opening soon before Jenny gets in our list. Anybody that you guys know of in Chicago that's opening soon?
Yeah.
Or elsewhere.
Or anywhere?
Or elsewhere, yeah.
The Giant guys.
Yeah, Giant is opening Chef Special. Very excited about that.
Yes, so it's a cocktail bar.
Yeah, it's more like bar focused with I think like I don't know how they describe it, like Chinese food, but like food court, Chinese food, Crab Rangoon and stuff like that. So
sounds good though.
Yeah, it's, cool. Yeah, it's gonna be good.
Good.
It's gonna
be a banger. Walk meets bar, whatnot.
Yeah.
Anything else?
I don't know. I feel like we kind of live under a rock now that we have a restaurant.
Yeah. Now that you stay in one building.
Yeah.
5 days a week. Yeah. You guys get out. You're in New York right now. Yeah. Come on.
What do you got?
So for opening soon announcements, Red Gate Bakery is opening in the East Village on December 19th. So check them out. Wee Pastries in Philly just opened this last week. Kafar in Philly from Michael Solomov and his restaurant group has now opened recently, and they just expanded to their all day, and people are loving it.
Cool.
And then Central Station in Memphis from the Enjoy AM team opened 2 weeks ago.
Cool.
Those are our opening soon announcements.
Cool.
Yeah.
Thanks again, guys, for being here. David and Anna Posey from Elska in Chicago. This is our final episode of season 2. So thanks for tuning in today and to the season. If you missed one, now's the time to go back and catch up. We also do short blurb kind of catch-ups on our website at tillatnyc.com, and we usually send out emails with those in them, so make sure you're signed up for our email list. Like Jenny mentioned in the prelude to the show, we are looking for information from people that are in any process of opening their restaurant. So if you've just started your business plan, if you've signed a lease, if you're, you know, putting equipment in, if you're working with investors in any of those spots and want to talk about your story and share it with us, then please DM us at We Are Out Opening Soon or at Till at NYC is fine as well. And we'll try and incorporate it into a new season for something exciting and for everyone else to learn from. So again, follow us on at We Are Opening Soon, at Tilt NYC, and then download and follow us at wherever you get your podcast.
Where can we find you guys on social?
Oh,
at Elska Restaurant. Yeah.
That's pretty much it.
Yeah, that's it.
Cool. Happy holidays, and thanks for being here.
Thank you, guys.
Thanks
for having us.
Opening Soon is powered by Simplecast. Thanks for listening to Heritage Radio Network, food radio supported by you. For our freshest content, subscribe to our newsletter, enter your email at the bottom of our website, heritageradionetwork.org, and connect with us on Instagram and Twitter at heritage_radio. You could also find us at facebook.com/heritageradionetwork. Heritage Radio Network is a nonprofit organization driving conversations to make the world a better, fairer, more delicious place. And we couldn't do it without support from listeners like you. Want to be a part of the food world's most innovative community? Subscribe to the shows you like, tell your friends, and please join the HRN family by becoming a member. Just click on the heart at the top right of our homepage. And thanks for listening.